welcome to the Boom or Bust NRL Fantasy Podcast 2024. If you like what you hear today, make sure to follow us at Boom or Bust NRL on Facebook and Instagram and subscribe to the podcast. Welcome to the Boom or Bust NRL Fantasy Podcast Team List Tuesday Mark 2. I'm your host Stuart Lord and joined by Nick Lord, Stats Guru, Fantasy Nugget, Jack DeBellin lover. How you going, Nick?
What it do, baby? Mate, going good, going good.
Excellent. Mate, obviously we've just done quick chat right up on all these guys. So how about we crack straight into the games because there's plenty to talk about. So Newcastle Knights, we're not going to necessarily go through the whole teams here, but we've got the Knights versus the Raiders, which is really great for us. It's the Thursday night game at 8 p.m., Nick. So great news is that there are heaps of Raiders that we want or potentially want, and we'll get to make sure that they're not cut 24 hours or an hour out, right?
Yep. Yep.
That's it. So look, just quickly on the Knights, they're pretty much as expected. Obviously, Dylan Lucas has the edge. Jack Cogger's at 14, which means is that you got Gamble and Hastings in the halves. High Pierce Paul makes the bench. On the other side for the Raiders.
Just quickly, we were thinking maybe Will Price might get that center with Dan Gagai going to the wing. That's not the case. We've got Gagai starting center and Tuala on the wing. So Will Price is in jersey 20.
That's it. So it doesn't look like we have him. And nope. The other side is on the Raiders side. Jordan Rapiner has the fullback spot. Nick Kotrick on a wing. Albert Hopoate at center because biggest news of the week is that we don't have KO Weeks. We get Ethan Strange starting at 5'8", Jamal Fogarty at half. We also got Danny Levi, who, you know, I did put in a few of my preseason teams starting at 9 at hooker, which, you know, 281K, you can't go too wrong. I'll get to him in a second. Zach Hosking, Nick, we have willed it into existence. Zach Hosking is starting.
My boy.
That's it. I want to try and find a way to get him.
No, he's your boy, too.
We like him both. KO Weeks is sitting there, though, dangerously as 18th man. So now, basically, and look, let's start with Nick. Take us through the Knights. Kalen Ponga, you've got him in your squad?
Yeah, mate. I got him captain week one. I'm pretty confident that the Knights, with the easiest schedule, I think Ponga's going to go ham against this Raiders side. He averages 62 at fullback last year. He's available round 13, assuming he doesn't make the Origin side, but I think Queensland would be crazy not to take Ponga over Walsh. Okay, let's just be clear here. Walsh is a great player, but he can only skip to the outside. Ponga can do everything. He's just a way better player. Anyway, literally every reason to buy Ponga, I think, from round one, Stu.
Yeah, exactly. I think the only people who probably won't have that money is if you went two wing fullbacks from last week. So if you had like a Turbo and someone else.
And Teddy.
Yeah, yep. Something like that. But
Latrell.
Exactly. Well, look, if you've got Latrell, you're laughing to the bank. So you scored 80 points in about 40 minutes and then decided to clock off.
Mitch said, "Oh, like, because we were at his brother's wedding, and it was late. And Mitch is cracking on about how good Latrell looks, how good. And I just thought he was taking a piss. And then, you know, what did Latrell get? Like 87 or something crazy like that?
So, 81, you know, but he was on 81 after about 50 minutes. Essentially,
I didn't take what Mitch said all that seriously, to be honest. And he nailed it.
I saw him on 360. I reckon he looked very good too. When I was playing Haas, I couldn't have too many Magic Round guys in case the venue was a dud or something was wrong. I just had to mitigate my risk. So yeah. That's why. But look, Ponga, I'm on him too. He's in my squad. I reckon that he's a great vice captain choice.
Too late, mate.
Yeah. Well, he's your captain this week, so good luck. Yep. Dylan Lucas, 558K, 41 break even. So, Nick, it looks like, unfortunately, Kai Pierce-Paul, he might not be a buy.
No, so we're sort of hoping for high 40s, low 50s attacking upside with Dylan Lucas, but it looks like he won't be getting all that milkshake with Kai Pierce-Paul, who's 520K. Dude, he's 6'6", 108 kilos and a serious athlete, so definitely one to keep an eye on. I think Kai Pierce-Paul will be the buy in a few rounds once he drops a bit of cash and gets that starting spot if Lucas doesn't perform or if either Frizzell or Lucas goes down. So I think Kai Pierce-Paul will actually turn out to be the buy. from round one. So I'm fading Dylan Lucas after being really high on him in the preseason. So just swap him out for someone else with value on the edge.
That's it. He's pretty much a straight swap for Lane. There's Helam Lukey, and there is Zach Hosking, who we're going to get to. But look, let's talk Phoenix Crosland. So I'm 521K, Nick, but he's only got the starting role for about 3 weeks with Brayley's hammy due back around then.
That's it. And even then, he averages 43 in 15 games over 60 minutes. So he really is a trap. Even if you get some runway, there's a little bit of value for those 3 weeks plus, but there's just not that much value. So it's not even like he can make some quick cash. So I think it's a bit of a trap, despite getting the starting spot. And then, guys, 14.1% of fantasy managers have Jed Cartwright. So get him out of your squad now. He is jersey number 18, so he will not make any cash.
And he's behind Kai Pierce-Paul. Like, we're thinking maybe if he's like that kind of Brody Jones type of spot where someone gets injured and he can worm his way into the side. But now with Kai Pierce-Paul there too, he's definitely down the pecking order at pretty much wherever he goes. He is just spack filler for this squad.
Yep. Zach Hosking, mate, 584K. He averages 61 in 9 games in the back row playing the full 80 minutes, which is pretty much prime Angus Crichton sort of fantasy output. In games between 50 and 70 minutes, he averages 43 in an 8-game sample, which is what he's priced at the moment. So, Stu, what sort of minutes are we looking at, mate?
Because the bench of
Gula, Mariota, and Solo, they're all middles to me.
Yes, Ricky, I very, very rarely see him replace an edge in So
where's Whitehead?
Whitehead is injured, so he's got a calf injury. I'm just finding out about that now. So let me give you how long that we've got Whitehead for, and so that'll tell us how much that we want Hosking. Look, the answer is that if you're likely to get sort of 4 to 5 weeks of Hosking, you will make money with him. He's just that sort of guy, not as much as we'd like, but you will make some. But look, mate, how about you talk us through the next two guys that we really got to talk about? Nick Kotrick. So he's in a ton of sides, mate. 261K, average of 19, center wing fullback. Why is he a buy when he's been such a dud?
Mate, he averages 30 on the wing 2017 to 2022. So he's just a really good cover. Although we were speaking off the pod, you mentioned the Hapuade risk and, who's coming back? When Chris comes back, maybe he comes into the side and Hapuade pushes Kotrick out of the side completely. So we're sort of fading him just based on that as well, right?
Yeah. No, just having a look here, it looks like 3 to 4 weeks probably. So maybe 4 for Whitehead because he does have a habit of sort of missing a few games in a row.
Yep.
So, it'll certainly be interesting.
Wait, are you talking Hosking or Kotrick?
Sorry, I was talking about Whitehead, 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah. I was just reading for the Raiders. They're saying massive injury blow on eve of NRL season.
Yeah, that is Whitehead.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Canberra captain Elliot Whitehead has a calf injury and was expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay. Righto. So yeah. Don't get Hosking then.
There we go. The next guy that we got to talk about is Jordan Rapanik, already 7K.
Mate, he's really tricky. So 35 break even. His scoring's just extremely volatile. So he can put up, 80-something when you adjust for the tackle break. So he scored the 105, but once you adjust for the changes in the point scoring, it's more like an 85. So he can score 15 or he can score 85. So we're sort of predicting somewhere in the vicinity of 45 to 50 average, which means 10 points plus of value. So definitely one to get in if you're looking for a wing fullback that price range. Stu, are you interested?
Yes, look, I've got Rapana in my side currently. It's one of those ones where unfortunately it is fixture dependent, but the first 2 weeks he's got the Knights and then the Tigers. So
that's pretty good.
And so to get his points scoring going, I reckon it'd be good. And he's got games against the Warriors and the Sharks, but he's got no chill. He's an older player, but he's got no chill. And if he fails round three, I'm expecting us to get Jaden Campbell back, which means Campbell is 450K or so. So it should be a straight swap back. If it doesn't work out, you should have the option there.
Yeah, buddy.
Excellent. So yeah, he's 459K, so that's who I will shift to. Now, mate, we got the big win of the week, which is we have Ethan Strange, 250K center, and he's a dual now, center half. So we've got a starting half playing at centre, which is what we wanted. He's not Matt Burton, but he did look very good defensively during the trials. He cut down Lukey a number of times, Nick. Like,
yeah, nice.
Really good wrapping defences. Knew when to come out, strong low tackles. So just keep an eye out in case they make any last changes to bring Weeks on the 24-hour and one-hour list, but that's why we're glad that they're playing first. For me, yep. Ethan Strange is in my side. He's actually my starting centre.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, great bench cover at worst. Great to have in your emergencies.
That's it. You can certainly put him in as cover for whoever else you got going there. But look, a guy who I'm not even sure that the worst 5'8 in the NRL can't make 100K from 250 grand. So
easy.
They just get too much ball, too many tackles. Unless you're, who had a shocker on the weekend? Ezra Mann. Anyway, 6 points. Next, Morgan Smithy is 520K. He's just a placeholder for Horsburgh. Guys, don't get excited. Not that we really were. The big one is though, Danny Levi, 281K hooker, 21 break even, seems to want that starting role. So his two games through saw him start to his injury in 2023, saw him average mid-30s, Nick. So with Starling in the side, I look at sort of Starling's minutes, right? Starling played around 38.1 last year, although that was with a couple of really big games after Levi got knocked out and a couple of others where he like covered for huge minutes. Yep. You're expecting Starling around 35 minutes, which means we'll sort of see anywhere from 30 to 55 off Levi week to week, but average around 45 minutes.
Yeah, so he's going to make some nice coin.
He will make you some money, Danny Levi, if you get him in your squad. Now, the danger is how many Raiders can you have? I've currently got 3, which isn't too bad, but you just got to check, all right?
They have the buy round
9.
10.
It's more if they're trash.
So you got some time.
It's more if they got trash. If you're starting, right? Strange, you've got Chris in there. You've got Rapana. You've got Kotrick, right? Who you might not be playing, but you know, you're playing 3 out of 4 of these guys. You maybe got Fogarty. Could be in a lot of trouble. So a guy that we haven't written down, but we only because he's so obvious, Jamal Fogarty. So we need to talk about him real quick, Nick. So I've actually gone off Jamal Fogarty a little bit, and that is mainly due to the fact that I think that Strange will be a slightly more traditional 5'8 than a guy like Weeks, who was pretty much a run first type of guy, which means that I see Fogarty possibly doing a little bit less and also paying 637K for a guy who is in a squad that's probably going to struggle a little bit this year. I'm just not loving it, like especially one that'll play a lot through the middle because their fullback is still T1, Nick. Like if we're talking about Tarponet, Hudson Young, Hosking, Horsburgh, Josh Papali'i, guys like that, it's still pretty top tier up front. But, you know, Foggy, just the back line, it could struggle a little bit.
Spine, back line, yeah, it's just a dud.
Yeah, that's it. So I'm off Fogarty a little bit because I think that we might not see the full 10 points of value there. So I've actually gone Drew Hutchinson, saved myself 250 grand.
That's it.
Awesome. 237 grand before someone sends me an angry email. Next one is, I'm trying to think, is there anyone else who we need to talk about in the squad, Nick? Because there's so many Raiders, relevant Raiders.
No, I think we got it. I think we got everyone.
I think we got everyone. Yeah. Okay, moving on. We got the next game, Warriors versus Cronulla Sharks. So for the Warriors, it's pretty much confirmed what we were in preseason. We have got news that Murata Niokore has broken his foot and will be back sort of 1 to 3 months, but more likely around the 1 month mark from what they're saying here, which means the bench is a bit strange, Nick. So we actually have, so we've got Tane Tuipiki at fullback. Let's start with him. RTS is confirmed at center, and I believe he was playing left center the other day. But the other big one is that Luke Metcalf has won the half position. And then, unfortunately for people who are thinking maybe get Wade Egan, we've got Freddie Lussick in 14.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's a real dud for people who are trying to pod Egan, hey?
That's it. Oh, mate, it kills it. Like, let's just start with Wade Egan. The answer is Wade Egan needs big minutes to put up a score and to not get head knocks. And he can't seem to do either. He's not going to get massive minutes now. He might get anywhere from, 55 to 70, depending on the week and how he's feeling. Yep. But that's not enough for us, is it?
No, unfortunately not.
So with that in mind, he is an avoid for me. I've also got Sean Johnson. He's coming off a career year, and it was a career year all year. It wasn't like Ponga, where he had like half a bad, like an average year, and then came good, so there's still a little bit of value. Like, Sean SJ just went nuts from game one, so I believe he's near a value. I'm trying to look else who we got here. How about you talk us through RTS, Nick? So is he in your squad?
Yeah. He's in my squad. I have him projected high 40s on a really, really, really good team. So I think there'll be plenty of attacking opportunities, plenty of base, plenty of tackle busts, plenty of offloads. He just looks the business to me. So I've brought him in with the DPP as well, which will be really handy. So I understand if you don't want to gun up in that position because, you know, we've got Burbo and Strange now. But I'm pretty keen just to lock in some good centers, I think, and just not worry about it all year and just focus on those guys being cashies. So anyway,
RTS, that was a large part of my strategy for a long time before I got Payne Haas in last minute. And look, RTS only has two buys prior to their round 27 buy. So the only major buy that he misses the two, which is 13 and 19, but he plays 16. So you got to be pretty happy about that, Nick, right?
Yeah. I'm stoked to have him in. Really stoked. And you've always got our players that you like or like to watch.
Oh, for sure. And look, he looked very good during the trials. The only reason I think, Nick, that I didn't get him in the end is because I managed to pick him up in draft, so I get to enjoy him anyway.
You did. I was so pissed.
I picked him up earlier. I knew that you were going to aim for him. I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I picked him probably two rounds too early.
No, you didn't. You picked him the perfect round. I think you were two picks before me, and I was going to get him because I had my mids and half and a fullback sorted. So I was like, oh, cool, I need a center because there's only like three or four good centers that you bloody took over. I was like, oh, man, God damn it.
All right, let's
especially go. The DPP in draft, just sorry real quick. DPP in draft is OP. If for some reason you haven't done your draft, DPPs just make it so much easier.
Sure it does. We love our dual players. So dual position players, that is, not dual player players. Oh, my goodness. Dual position player. Players. Yeah, no.
That's okay, what do the Sharks look like, mate?
Oh, mate, no. Let me continue on with this DPP, like, quality podcasting that I'm doing here.
Yep. Okay.
So, look, with the Sharks, how about you take us through Hines? Because he's $1 million. What do you get for $1 million?
I mean, we'll go through the side real quick.
Oh, look, let's talk us through the side, yep.
Yep, so it's pretty 1 to 17. The only surprises here was the Cameron McInnes getting that starting 13 role with Finucane in jersey 14. The other one, Oregon Kafusi starting prop, Toby Rudolph, jersey 16.
So and Braden Hamlin-Ualee is injured.
Yes. Yep. So the 1 to 5 is stable. Talakai is there. Kale Iroh is jersey 18.
Which means that there's a bit of hot breath down Talakai's neck.
There is. So keep an eye for Iroh. He'll be that, you know, potentially early season cash cow, or mid to early season, I should say, cash cow, which would be nice. But the main talking point here, Stu, is Cam McInnes. But anyway, I'll start with Hines. So I sort of predicted him at a 76 average, and I had another look at it because Ryan from the Fantasy Amateurs was pretty adamant there was going to be a regression here. So I had another look. And so what I've done is I've sort of revised my projection from 76, and then I said, okay, 76 is what I think he'll average. But if you chuck in two or three dud scores, like absolute bust games where they just get smashed up around, you know, mid-30s, I'm sort of pegging him back to about 73, which is what he's priced at. So assuming he doesn't play Origin, although there was talk that they can play Cleary and Hines together, which I think they should do. I think that's a really good pairing for Origin. But anyway, what do I know? And does he play 13? Just having a quick look.
He does.
So that is super juicy if you can fit him in. But
Nico is a great option. If you think that Nico is as going to be near as good as he was last year and he won't play Origin, he is the half to get. Like, I would have him over Theory at that point. I'm not sure that he is, though. I think that, you know, we've got a new Origin coach in there. And so for me, it's just one of those ones where I'm just a little bit, not as big a fan.
And a lot of people are souring on the Sharks. Like, I've seen a lot of predicted ladders where Sharks aren't even making the eight. Like, I think they're
There's nothing changed about
squad.
The side, dude. Like, that's they've just gotten a little bit better. I don't get it either. I guess when you fall at the first round each year in the finals or the second round, you know, you just people start to fade you a little bit after a little while.
They've got the tag of, you know, beating up crap squads and then sucking against the good squads, right? So
that's it. Can't be the top eight. Well, let's find out this year. But they don't.
They got as soft as baby's bottom draw this year. So
That's it. Though just before Origin, they just got the nasty little run from rounds 10 to 12. Storm, Roosters, Panthers.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And if you're expecting the Rabbitohs and Cowboys to be better, so it's actually Rabbitohs, Cowboys, Raiders, Dragons. So not too bad there, but then that Storm, Roosters, Panthers run.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Look, we've got to chat about this guy, Cam McInnes, 704K, 51 break even. So just to put it out there, guys, I love Cam. Issues with his minutes on this bench. So they've got to feed Fusi. They've got to feed Hunt. So Royce Hunt, McInnes, Finucane, Williams, so Jack Williams, Toby Rudolph, and Tom Hazleton, and Braden Hamlin-Newaley to come back from injury. So look, having a bit of chat with the guys from Fantasy Amateurs before, and it kind of worked out like this, that look, maybe Hunt for 30, Royce Hunt for 30, Kafusi for 30 or 35, McInnes for around 55, Finucane for 40, Johnny Rambo still doing well, Jack Williams for maybe 30, Toby Rudolph, who is a 50-minute guy, for probably around 35, and Hazleton for 15. So, and we know that Hazleton's good for more than 15, right, Nick? Like, he could do 30, right?
Yep.
So with that in mind, you know, there's just too many guys to feed around. So at 55 minutes, McInnes is priced around where he is with a 0.95 PPM, which is kind of where we got him averaged at, Nick, like over the last few years.
Yep.
With Hamlin-Newaley due back, we'll see more minutes spread around as well, because Hamlin-Newaley's just been re-signed for like $2 million because of a lack of forwards. So if we do get, essentially, where I would buy Cam McInnes is if either A, early on we saw that he was getting 65 minutes somehow, which I just can't see. Like, I just don't see the benefit for the squad of him playing huge minutes. He's not a game breaker. He's just a very...
I don't think it will contribute to winning playing McInnes more.
The only other way is if he spells Brayley at any point, because he did play a bit of hooker during the preseason trial. But again,
okay.
So if he can steal 10 minutes from Brayley, there is possibly the minutes there. But again, unless someone knows something that I don't, I Brayley's played 80 minutes for the last four seasons straight, Nick, without injury.
Yeah, Brayley's got to go to the next level. Like, he's been in first grade for a little bit now, and he's got some experience under his belt. He's really got to go to the next level as a hooker for them to go better.
That's it. And maybe they give McInnes, give him 10 minutes so he can go a little bit harder, Brayley, so that he can kind of push. That's all I can think of. So, but we don't know. The only other thing I would say is that if Cade Dykes is currently out with an injury, Cade Dykes comes into that utility role off the bench, that sort of Connor Tracy role, Nick, and they go to
That's exactly what they need. That's exactly what this bench needs. This is a really homogenous bench.
Yeah. Tom Hazleton's a big boy, and Rudolph, they're both big, but that's about it, right?
Yeah, there's not much impact. You know, I mean, Rudolph could provide some spark, but...
Yeah, same with Hazleton, like big bodies in motion, but it's very direct running. They're not pass the ball near the line. They're not offloads. They just hammer it down the front door, aren't they?
Yeah, it's not dynamic, is it?
So, look, if they get Dykes back in there, we could then see an increase in minutes for McInnes type of thing. But again, it's hard to see. So for me personally, at this stage, I've avoided him and I've picked up Payne Haas, so I probably can't afford him even if I really wanted to. How about you, Nick? Yep. Have you avoided him as well?
Yeah, I can't squeeze him in. I had him penciled in last week, but unfortunately, I just don't see the minutes like you're sort of explaining here. So
yeah, once we sort of look it through, there's just not as many as we'd like. Now, it doesn't mean on the occasional game he won't get huge minutes, right, Nick? And I'll get the occasional good score, but it's just I can't guarantee it.
Like, even like the most diehard Sharkies fan would understand this concept that whilst he's an awesome fantasy player and an awesome player, there's just not the minutes to make it work. So don't try and force the issue.
And look, if I somehow find out any other information about McInnes, like if he does get some lock minutes, some hooker minutes, I'll let everyone know.
Yep.
That seems unlikely. Yep. Okay, next we have Storm versus Panthers, which will probably be game of the round, hopefully.
Mate, get your beers, get your whatever your footy snacks are, whether it's like chippies or M&Ms or popcorn. It's going to be sweet.
It should be. So look, we got a couple of things here. Ryan Pappenhausen confirmed a fullback, which we love for the Storm. Apart from that, Nick Meaney at center. Cam Munster has returned from injury and is playing at 6. Big news too, Cam Akamika and Josh King are both playing. The biggest news, however, is that we got Joe Chan on an edge, who I did not pick to be on an edge this year, Nick.
Not at all.
So
he was the butt of the joke last year.
He was, well, because he was the least likely to play, right? Like,
yeah.
We we had this sort of, he just needs some time to develop and all the rest, but obviously he's done it. So instead last year we got Trent Liero, but he's been replaced by Joe Chan on an edge. Apparently coach has given him good raps about his preseason form as well, Nick. So we do have a little bit of confirmation around that. Though take it for what it's worth, you know, the coach can cut as he does.
Yep. Yeah, there's definitely plenty of guys ready to take his spot.
Oh, well, look, let's talk about Sean Bloor real quick because he's 18th man. He's come in early. He's got a two to three year contract here, Nick. 18th man. So I guess Joe Chan, let's start with him and Sean Bloor. Essentially, it's one of those ones where if Joe Chan does well, he might keep his spot. But as soon as he doesn't, or maybe even if he does, Sean Bloor might come knock down that door, hey?
Well, we don't really know. Like, there's no, Bloor might just have a niggly injury, right? Where he's just not 100%. He might be like 85%. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
he might not have impressed as much as he could have. There might be a whole bunch of things. I'm just saying they traded Olam early to get Sean Bloor. So they signed
him. But they were happy to let Olam go. Like, you know what I mean?
They were, but they already bought Sean Bloor. It wasn't like it was a trade thing just to get rid of Olam. They had already signed Bloor.
Yeah, let's just be clear here. Sean Bloor couldn't crack it at the Tigers.
Sean Bloor was against two internationals though, right?
But if he was the business, they would keep him. He's not the business.
Well, he was the guy who pushed, who was he pushing into the 13 role for 50 minutes a game? Bateman. He was pushing Bateman to the middle for 50 minutes a game when he was fit. So he was doing enough because he was playing 15 minutes of the bench. I'm just saying that I'm not saying Sean Bloor is as good as Eli Katoa, who's done very well over there. I'm just saying that Joe Chan, I've got him currently in my squad, Nick, Joe Chan, but just know that it could be like a week to week thing. Yeah. It could be a 24 hour or 1 hour decision. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. They're playing Friday night. Okay, so
you have time to fix it with the Bulldogs, some of the cheapies there, and whatever else.
Not really, though, because the best cheapies play, because you'd already have Salmon, Strange, and Hughes, right?
Yes.
So if you got Chan as well, and Chaboyevich is already off the table because he's already played, who else could be an option in that price range?
If we lose him very last minute?
Let's just even say you just want to eject last minute and the Raiders have already played it.
Yeah, just say Joe Chan, is it an option? Who can we get after this? But let's have a look here.
So you got the Eagles Bulldogs game and
you got Luke Summerton. But only for a game, so no, he's no boys. playing for the Panthers because his old mate got suspended for one game.
Bostock maybe, or
it would probably be Bostock at that point.
Or Keeney, no, Keeney's not an option, is he?
Keeney, we're only going to get one game from. But look, Salmon. It may be that you just have to rejig your side with some of those later players.
The point is that I think if you take Chan, you may need 50 to 100K to go get Kyle Flanagan. Let's say you need 90K to go get Kyle Flanagan.
Yeah, you need some sort of an exit strategy in short order.
Well, yeah, Bostock's probably the cheapest guy who would respectfully turn up each week and put in a decent score
and
start to make some money. Yeah, exactly.
The only other guys could be, if you really want to take a punt, is Kulu Kefu Finifuaki for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But again, he's 272.
400? 272. Okay. Yeah, well, maybe that's what you do.
He'd be the only guy's close to the price. But again, you playing a bench edge instead of a...
Or 100K gets you Seyfarth potentially for next week if you...
Yeah. Actually, I'd go and get Seyfarth for that money if you could find
it. Yeah. So just have that exit strategy just in case you get to Friday night and you want to bail out for some reason.
Excellent. I like it. So we've done Joe Chan. So the other guys we're going to talk about, Nick, Ryan Pappenhausen. Look, he's pretty much in all of our sides at this point, 43% owned. Can you think of a reason that he would be out of your squad at this stage?
Well, he's not kicking by the appearances, but we suspect he will take over the kicking because he's a better kicker than Nick Meaney. He's a 79% and Meaney is a 73%. So potentially when Pappenhausen gets a bit more confidence, gets a bit more game time, he might take it back.
Hmm.
is sort of my thinking there, Stu.
I like
it. I think if you want to sit out, that's not a huge risk because you can just sort of sit back and wait three rounds and then pick them up after the round four bye potentially. If you're looking to fix up your wing fullback later on, and let's just say you like the look of Rapana for a little bit less, and
that's true. You know. Though for me, it's one of those ones I want them both, like Pappenhausen for a starting fullback for $4.95. Who averaged 50 when he wasn't going, and 21 seems pretty good to me, right, Nick?
Yeah, I really love it.
Excellent.
I'm just thinking the reasons why he wouldn't is, you know,
shortened preseason and the injury history.
Yep,
that makes sense to me. Look, let's get to Nathan Cleary. So I've got to talk about him. 73 break even for $1 million. So guys, you can fade him, but he's set a lot of people's seasons on fire the last few years to do so. So ever since 2020, it's basically been no Cleary, all problems. So great floor. His worst performance, you know, in a full match was a 37 in that ugly game against the Rabbitohs round two last year, where everyone was kind of cooked from the World Cup. Yep. And the Panthers were on the back foot for most of the game. And he bookended
the Broncos. Was that the Broncos?
No, that was round one. And then round two, they had the Rabbitohs. And it was again, that's a tight game. The Rabbitohs just won with like, the Latrell got like a double in that game. Something ridiculous.
Yep. That was at a Penrith, eh?
Yeah, yep. Steve Crichton got three tries. So
it was a weird game.
Cleary is bust as well because he wasn't kicking goals that game. Like Crichton scored basically all the points in that game, like three tries and three goals, something like that. So he hit 100 points last year three times, including the first try of the century as well. So this is a guy who he doesn't need to score a try to pull out some amazing scores. So for me, like I understand why some of you may not want to get him because you can spend the money very like a tenth of your salary cap is a lot to pay for a single player, but he's also the guy. So for me, I've got him, even though he's not my captain this week, I captain Haas because, you know, the Storm at home is not necessarily the first game that you want to see, but he will still be my side the rest of the year.
Yeah, I like it, mate. I don't think the Storm are going to be that good this year. I'm fading them. I think they might miss the eight. I think they'll be like maybe ninth this year.
Maybe. But like round one, I reckon they're going to put everything into it. Like the guys are going to be so fresh and fit and they're just going to be absolutely diving in.
Yeah, but I don't think they're that good. That's sort of my point is despite how much effort they might put in, I think they've sort of got an eye for the future now, bringing guys through and sort of restocking the pantry, you know.
For sure. Well, look, let's keep an eye out for that. But look, I reckon it'll be a pretty good game.
Yep.
Excellent. Let's get to the next game, Eels versus Bulldogs. So 5:30 p.m. at CommBank. So get down to that game if you can. It should be a good game. I'll be there, except I'm taking my daughter to a Taylor Swift tribute concert. So like a dance thing. So I'll be doing that instead. Joy upon joy. Let's. Well, no, I was all set to go. I was about to book tickets, and then I'm like, oh damn, conflict. Let's look at the Eels. So basically, we got Bailey Simpson, who has moved to the wing due to the suspension of Marcus Sivo. That brings Morgan Harper into the squad. Vomit. Sean Russell starts on the wing. We have pretty much the rest of the squad is as expected, except we have both Joey Lussick in the squad. But then we have in the Jacob Arthur Memorial number 14 spot, we got Brendan Haynes as the guy who could play anywhere from 5 to 25 minutes somewhere. So, yeah, it's pretty bad. Ryan Madison returns from some back spasms and Kelma Tuolagi joins in the 17. Wiremu Greg has a hamstring injury, will miss the beginning of the season. And then Bulldog side, Black Taff somehow retains the fullback position. I'm guessing that Connor Tracy is not fit yet, which is the only reason. Blake Wilson is on a wing. Jacob Kras at center, Nick, which means that Bronson Cherry misses out. We have Matt Burton, Drew Hutchison in the halves. Poasa Famasuli is actually the starting prop. Jamin Salmon confirms he's at lock, which moves Josh Curran all the way to the bench. Sam Hughes is also on the bench, which is great for us to see. So, Nick, I might just say straight up, Lussick and Haynes. I don't see Haynes drinking that many minutes on the bench because essentially Haynes is just there as sort of that cover, bit of utility, can play a bit of half, kind of like Jacob Arthur, right?
Yep.
The issue is Jacob Arthur still played, what, 15 minutes a game?
Which just, if not more, yep.
Yep, so minimum. So at which point it just really makes Lussick a bit of a fail, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So for me, I am getting neither. I've actually had to spend up some cash and go get Appy Coruscant.
What? Really?
Yeah. Well,
you pull the trigger.
I need a second hooker, and it's him or Danny Levi.
No, you don't need a second hooker. Just go with Cheese, mate.
It's going to end badly in tears for someone at some point, mate.
Not for me. I'm just running with cheese. Cheese, my man.
Excellent. Well, look, I'm thinking about spending the money on Appy. I've got just enough cash to do it.
Ooh, look at me. I'm Stu. I'm going to get Appy Chorus. Ooh.
Yeah, that's it. So that's
look. You know what? I'm glad because you stuck to your guns. You mentioned them all preseason, and you're actually doing it. So props to you, mate. That's awesome.
I appreciate it. So the only thing that I might do is whether I get someone else this round and trade him from next round. But I think I'll just start with Appy. Let's talk about Jermaine Hopgood. So Nick, we kind of did a bit of a minutes breakdown. So
yeah, you did. Yep.
Yep. So look. If he gets 65 minutes, that is 0.95 PPM, which is enormous for a guy playing at lock. We're thinking around 62 minutes, Nick. 62 points.
Yep.
But I did a breakdown. Essentially, I looked at the last couple of years. So Campbell Gillard plays around 55 minutes a game. Paulo plays for 54. Offa and Gowie has been playing 31 minutes off the bench. Maddow has been playing 52 minutes off the bench. And Tuolagi, I've got as a 20 minutes with maybe 10 stolen from the edges. So like Sean Lane might get 76 and Bryce Cartwright might get 72 or something, right?
Yep.
So really, that means is that there's really only 55 to 60 minutes left for Hopgood. So I'm not sure that we're definitely not seeing 70 plus with this squad if fully fit. So Hopgood for me is a guy who looks to probably maintain his value, but there is no upside until essentially either Matto, Paulo or Campbell Gillard get injured, at which point Hopgood is a screaming buy because his average goes up to 70 in 70 minutes, basically, Nick.
Yeah, I think Hopgood sort of like last year, you know, if he actually gets his 55, 60 minutes, he'll make a good score. But then if there's an HIA or some sort of other issue, then obviously he'll pop up to 70, 80 minutes and then go absolutely wild. So,
yeah.
So well, there's an overtime, obviously, you know, because they tend to go into golden point, the Eels. So it's just going to be frustrating. But, yeah, he should maintain his value. But, unfortunately, there's not huge value based upon his projected minutes.
Yeah, look, I'll put you this way. When playing over 70 minutes, he averages 72.4 in 76 minutes, 0.95 PPM. He does not slow down. So, and that includes like there is a 0.2 try scoring rating there. So it's not big. He's not just racking up those attacking stats.
Yep.
All right. So he's not an avoid, but he's just a guy that's not going to make you much value. Sean Lane, Nick.
Mate, 41 break even, 558K. Career worst year last year, averaging 36. After a career best, averaging 53. So, you know, I saw a post about him going over to Europe to do more psychology stuff to help him prepare for the season. Question is Kenny's PPM and his form return? Look, I don't really know, to be honest. We're sort of thinking he should get 70 plus minutes. At that nice 0.7 PPM, that's around a 50, which means 10 points of value. So I'm definitely not against anyone getting Sean Lane round one. And I think there's some sort of value somewhere. I just really don't know what it is. So I think you're minimum going to get 4 points of value and it could be 10, 12, you know, potentially. So with Bloor not really being there, Lukey, we're going to chat about in a bit. That sort of price range at this stage of the round for the edges is a bit dicier than it was, you know, a couple of weeks ago. We were sort of pretty high on half a dozen guys, but, you know, Pierre Curry is a bit of a dud with the HIA and Tupanoa is a bit of a dud and Wong did all right. So, you know, we'll have to
wait. The least minutes, it's all a bit ugly, isn't it?
Yeah, it looked really rosy a week ago, and now it's. I think Sean Lane is just might be the binky here, mate. I think he might just be the comfort, and I've got no objection to anyone picking him up.
Nah, none for me either. He's not in my squad, but I can understand why he might be in yours. Now, let's get to guy who's the complete opposite of that, which is if he's in your squad, you're probably a fantasy nugget. So, Nick, take us away. Why is Matt Burton in your squad, mate? Because I tell you now, what's his ownership percentage? Let me pull that up because I got to tell you how big a pod this is.
3%.
3%. There we go. So I'm going to be fascinated as to how many of the top 1,000 this year started with Matt Burton. But talk us away. Why should we buy Matt Burton?
No, I'm not advocating anyone else to do it, but I'm doing it. And the reason being is because I'm not taking Cleary round one. So I'm starting to Stu's, against Stu's advice, I'm taking Hutchinson and Burton as my starting halves round one. Now, I know the Bulldogs have a bye, I think it's round 8. So I've got to do something by then to deal with that. particular issue. But Burton has a 64 fantasy upside, but he can't find the consistency. So he can pump out like 8 rounds in the 60s consistently, you know. It's just on the other side of that, he sort of will average around 40. So I'm sort of thinking with a better Bulldog side, I don't know how it's going to go. It's an absolute risk. But my real problem is, and Stu, we were briefly chatting about this, is that in that, so let's say you fade Cleary and you don't take Hines and you've got Hutchinson. Well, who else are your options in the halves? You know, Moses I see as at value. Munster's a gun, right? Munster's an absolute gun. But
I pick Moses over Munster as far as it goes because he's a goal-kicking half who drinks most of the milkshake for the kicking. Essentially, Dylan Brown just takes some of the center points with him, right? Like, yeah, but makes more tackles and takes some of the edges.
Just have a look at last year's. Have a look at last year's stats with or without Brown. It's about a 58, and that's what he's priced at. So
yeah, you know. It's more what I'm trying to say here is that I think that the Eels will be better, and I think that he's the type of guy who can move into that 60 range. He looked very good during the preseason. That's all.
But I don't see 65 necessarily for Moses, and he's 150K more than Burton. So obviously Moses is going to go better on average, I think, than Burton, but I think Burton has that capacity to go to that level potentially. You know, yeah, in my essay a few weeks ago, Stu, I sort of found a few indicators I thought could lean to a better season for Burton. We think he's goal kicking, right? We don't know, but we think based on him kicking in that first trial, and then I think he kicked when Stephen Crichton was off the field in that second trial. He said Stephen Crichton played the first 20. So I'm thinking he still is the kicking, and I can see the attacking upside there potentially. So, you know what? I know this could completely blow up in my face, and that's why I'm not advising anyone else to do it, but I don't like Fogarty. I think he's on a crap team. And you pointed out that Strange will drink some more of the milkshake than someone, say, like KO Weeks. Tanner Boyd, I'm not a huge fan of. Sam Walker's already played, who I am a huge fan of. So he would have been my other alternative. Jack Cogger is on the bench, who I would have taken. And, you know, other than that, there's no one else really worth even mentioning in this price range. So
there's no one in the price range. You sort of, the next guy, when you scroll down, is kind of Luke Metcalf, 457K. Would be the next guy that I'd take.
And then you're sort of saying, okay, so I'm going to run Hutchinson and another, you know, question mark in the halves, whereas I know Burton will score, you know, at least high 40s, early 50s. I'm just sort of hoping that he can pop up to a high 50s, early 60s sort of guy this year. It's a bit of hope, but he's done it before over multiple seasons for, as I said, for 8-week, 10-week periods. It's just whether he can start to string it together.
Yeah, you just hope that he doesn't have that round one that he had last year with that 16. Mate, because he dropped 43K the first round. Like, I think he had him last year. But yeah, no, he did. He strung a few good games together. It's just one of those ones
he did the year before as well. You know, yeah.
And he ran that round 18, 19. Like, he just occasionally just pulls that.
And let's be honest,
turd of a game.
But those Bulldogs have been a turd of a team the last 2 years. Like, just absolutely disgusting.
Yeah,
huge. They were easily the worst team last year. Like, easily. Like, their middle was so bad. They were so injured. They had zero depth.
Yeah,
they were an unhappy squad. That internal turmoil. You're not hearing of any of those sorts of issues this year.
That's true. But remember, round one last year, before everything went sideways for them, right? He scored 16. That is with a try save, with a goal, 17 tackles, one tackle break, and 260 metres kicked.
Yep.
But then he did pick it up over the next few weeks. So by round five, he sort of turned.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not going to get a 16 in round one, but as I said, you can, if you just go through his history, he can definitely keep pumping out really nice scores over a consistent period. So
look, if he can certainly turn that around, I think that he'll have a better year this year for sure. And those bigger score games is where he does that sort of bulk of the kicking. So hopefully he pulls out then.
Yeah, I mean, he can bag tries and line breaks and try assists and line break assists. So he can do it all. So it is really a prey. I'm praying. It's an absolute prayer.
Fair enough. No, I like it. Well, no, I don't. I really don't like it. But
you don't
you know
like
what?
It.
I'll let you have it.
You know what? It's a talking point of the Cleary fade, at least on the pod this year. So you guys can mock me each week. So,
mate, I think I've got something on the soundboard for you for that one. I'm just trying to pull it up now. It's like,
are you sure about that? What are you?
Not the idiot sandwich.
That's it. Oh, mate. So let's talk about a couple of guys really quick. So Sam Hughes is playing off the bench, 250K, 18 break even mid. Now look, the Dogs seem to be signing every single middle who ever existed who, you know, isn't currently around. So they've signed Zane Tedovano, who was considered a good player until people remember that he had a domestic violence charge, and then everyone on Twitter's like, oh, I can't say he's a great signing anymore. It's like, well, he was or he wasn't from a game point. Anyway, doesn't matter. Sam Hughes, Zane Tedovano signed at age 34 from basically retirement and a stroke to play for the Bulldogs. They've also just signed David Saluka Fifita, but I believe that he's recovering from ACL next. Probably won't be ready till mid-season.
Oh, sweet.
So essentially the runway for Sam Hughes as a very big fella is good, and the fact of how good he looked in the trials is encouraging, right?
Yep. He's a lock. He's an absolute lock.
So he's a great guy. Just put him in. I probably wouldn't start him in your 17, though. Just put him on the emergency somewhere. Just get an idea of how he goes. He could be Max King from maybe 2 or 3 years ago, Nick, where he got that similar role, you know, sort of pumping out sort of 30s, 40s, 50s, but we'll just wait and see. Next, we got another cheapie, Jamin Salmon. So he's got the starting 13, Nick, which we love. And at 289K, we love him even more. So,
oh, mate. Yep, 100%.
Yep, so look, he looked decent during the trials. He'll make some cash, averages 0.6 PPM at base level when in each change or starting on an edge. Should see a slight bump in this playing in the middle, but we'll wait and see because he didn't really play that off the interchange at Panthers. So predicting, I'm thinking, Nick, around 30, 35 points in 40 to 50 minutes. So
yeah, yep. I totally agree with that.
So yeah, so look, he looked all right during the trials. Salmon, I was looking at him pretty hard, so just have him in your squad somewhere. You can put emergencies or on the bench. I'm not really fussed. Obviously, with that news, Josh Curran on the bench, he's an absolute void now. He's still well-owned. Get him out of your squad. Jacob Carraz, Nick, he's made it into my squad somehow for the moment, and that's due to the fact that in his starts, which he's got 8 of these at centre, he averages 47. So,
mate, love it. Absolutely love it.
0.1 try scoring rate. So,
man, I absolutely love it.
He's a tackle busting guy. He's got no chill. Moving him to center just means that he gets his hand on the ball more often. He averages 153 running meters there, although he isn't a better side this year. So it may mean that he has to do a little bit less. It's a 0.2 try scoring rate in his games at center because he scored 1 try across his games there. I'm just having a look around. There's not really too much else to say apart from he's still a bit of a risk. I'll probably take at wing fullback Rapana over him, Nick.
No, I disagree.
You take Carraz?
Yeah, I feel better about Carraz than I do Jordan Rapana, actually. Because Carraz, like, eye test wise, absolute gangbusters. The tackle bust is strong. He does his junk tackle busters, you know, Stu. Like, he'll crab for 5 tackle busts in one run. And he can make those long line breaks too, personally. So I would take Carraz over Rapana despite the price tag difference, to be honest.
Fair enough. Well, look, I guess from my side, I've taken Carraz over Pennacini, who we did miss in the Eels write-up, but essentially we're going, look, there's a little bit of value there in Pennacini, but there's essentially, from my view, there is as much value in Carraz as there is in Pennacini for less money.
Yep.
Excellent. So he's in my starting squad as a center. So I've got him and Strange starting, which is a bit...
Love it.
Nowhere near where I started because for a while there I was had like Chris, RTS and Valholm. So very big changes for me.
Yep.
Okay. Drew Hutchinson, 400K. So Nick, essentially we're thinking that a 400K guy, he averaged what, around 40 or so potentially? Like depending on the split with Burton?
Yeah, between 36 and 45. Depending upon how much the milkshake each of them get. So worst case scenario is 6 or 7 points of value and best case is 15 points.
Yep. And look, it's a guy who that's talked about when I've listened very carefully to especially Seraldo talk about him. And he basically, not only did he say that he got first chance, but he's saying that he brings a lot of calmness to the squad and running the side around because I think we've realized that Burton is not the organizing half in this operation. Which means it's that for Hutchinson, he'll organize things, which means that Burton might be able to run on play for 3, 4, or 5 and leave Hutchinson to run the team around.
Mate, I would be surprised if we see Burdo, you know, 150 running meters, if he sort of converts to Dylan Brown with the odd boot, you know what I mean?
And the deep kicks. So cross between him and Jack Whiten.
You're absolutely right. Jack Whiten's the correct. Yep. 100%.
A cross between those two, like, and with those occasional big long kicks. I think the Burton bomb will probably go away a little bit, but the certainly those long distance kicks. So it'll certainly keep up some of those kicking meters. But then yes, definitely run for closer to that 120, 150 mark.
Oh, absolutely.
Excellent. So look, I've got Drew Hutchinson. He's my starting half. So I'll leave him there.
Love it. Love it. I think Hutchison has to be in your team, right? Has to be.
You'd have to have a very good reason not to. Because I'd have him already, over Flanagan. If he already had two, if just say you had Cleary and Fogarty and you're still high on Fogarty, I'd have then Hutchison as your backup half on your bench.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Especially now we don't have Weeks. And so you'd...
We got Strange.
You can put Strange there too if he's not in your centres.
I wouldn't start Strange. I think you're going to hurt for points too much. You know, your opportunity cost in the halves is going to be pretty brutal with Strange playing in the centres, right?
That's correct.
You get a really dud score there. Bust score.
That's it. Look, the last guy we got to talk about, Blake Taff, 330K wing fullback. I would avoid Blake Taff as I think he is a placeholder there because by the look of it, Connor Tracy's probably at number 22. He's a few weeks away. Bronson Cherry is at 19. So I figure that Connor Tracy is probably maybe 2 weeks away from returning from the injury, Nick, which could see that shuffle, right? Whether it be Steve Crichton, the fullback, whether it be Trace, the fullback, whether it be one of these guys to center and Karaz out to the wing, pushing Wilson out, like something's going to happen because I don't think Blake Taff is the guy.
But you know what? Blake Wilson's good. So I wouldn't be surprised. It's even if Tracy's fit, I don't think Blake Wilson will necessarily make way. Do you know what I mean?
No, but I'm
I think you're right. I think Taff will go before Wilson.
I think Taff will really go before Wilson. But I think that if Cherry kills it in reserve grade, and you got Tracy playing well, I think that Wilson may just need to make way at some point.
I think that'll take some time with Zeri because it's not like they've invested so much in Bronson Zeri, right? Like they wouldn't have paid a huge deal to bring him in, would they?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like they're no one's job's on the line to make sure that Bronson Zeri goes well.
No, it's just one of those ones of getting your best talented, you know, 17 on the field because I need that. Especially after some of those failed purchases in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think that's the end of it. So, Nick, let's get to the next game, Titans versus St. George. How about you talk us through this one? What's happening?
Mate, the Titans are somewhat as predicted. We've got Keanu Keeney in the fullback position. The centers and wings and halves look as predicted. The in hooker, Chris Randall's starting. Sam Verrills is in jersey 14. Cleese Haas is on Dave Fafita's edge. I believe both formers are going to be playing left edge whilst we're waiting for Dave Fafita to come back. And then I think Bo will go back to the right edge. Keenan Palaceda is in the lock position with Tino in starting prop, which is a bit of a surprise actually, right, Stu?
Yeah, oh, look, we certainly weren't sure whether it would be Tino to 13 or like how to fit Palaceda in, essentially.
It's just a jersey number at the end of the day, right, in our opinion?
Tino doesn't play 13 any different to how he plays 10, which is truck it up, get the ball out the back occasionally with an offload. He's certainly not a passing prop too much, is he?
But yeah, but he'll be a 60-minute prop nonetheless, right?
Oh, he definitely. He's in that Payne Haas level of he gets as many minutes as the metrics let him, which is a lot because he's got that essentially big motor. So, yeah, I can't see him playing less than 55 a game and closer to 65 most games.
And the last note is AJ Brimson is good to go after an HIA in the final preseason clash. So he takes his spot on the centres. On the Dragons side, we've got Tyrell Sloan in the fullback position and Lomax on the wing, as expected. Jack Bird in the centres. The halves, Flanagan and Hunt. The forwards, we've got Muller and Blake Lowry. No change there. Tom Eisenhuth's on the left edge, right, Stu, or right? With Luciano Leilua suspended, Stu off-air mentioned that he got his 2-game suspension downgraded to 1 with 1-game suspended. So if he marks up again doing something boneheaded, then he'll cop an extra week on top of that suspension.
I think I'm just trying to remember from last week. It's like with a he was. I think Sua was on the left from memory, but I could be wrong there. I feel like he was always a right hand guy, but obviously they may have changed him up.
He was always on the right hand side, but he's been on the left in the preseason. So
well, there we go. Well, look,
Lou is always the left edge. So, I don't know, wait and see on that one. Connor Meleason, I butchered that, sorry, mate. He's in jersey 14. And Viliami Fifita is on the bench with Raymond Fatala Mariner. So, who's missed out? The Catchman boys.
Ben Murdoch Masala.
Yeah, he's just nowhere to be seen. Oh, he's in jersey 18.
He's 18th man. Yeah, Catchman, Fine's out. But for me... let's start off with one guy who I want to dispatch real quick, which is Viliami Fifita. So it's 250K middle. He is one of those guys who is the future of the Dragons, I think. But the issue is that I see that in 1 to 2 weeks, you will get the new edge in, which means is that Tom Eisenhuth will move out and will probably move to the bench. And out of these guys, I see probably Fifita then dropping out at that point, Nick.
Yeah, I actually know nothing about Viliami Fifita. I'm just looking it up right now. See, I should know, eh?
He's a young fella. The Flannos brought him across from Manly in one of those little deals that he did sort of on his way out the door. So because there were just too many people in front there. So he's brought him over. He looks to be like a young guy. You've probably got his New South Wales Cup stats coming up in a moment.
Yeah, I'm having a look. He is 23, 194 centimetres, so makes him, what, 6'4", solid dude. Okay, the stats.
Yeah, I just see when Luciano comes back in, this thing's got to shuffle, even if he comes off the bench for a week or two. I just see Fifita as being probably the guy to drop, if either or Michael Molo, one or the other. But Fifita is just out of nowhere.
Yeah, so playing prop and off the bench, he's got a 0.65, I'm going to say, PPM, which is pretty sweet. So if he's priced at like 17, he's going to need like 25 minutes to make... So 25 minutes just to break even. And realistically, I'm not sure those minutes are there.
Yep.
Exactly. Well, more like at 0.6 people. You'll need to.
Yeah. And look, it's a light bench. Michael Molo, Fifita, and Raymond Fatala Mariner, who's really like an edge.
Well, we've got Blake Laurie in some decent minutes. I've got Jack DeBellin penciled in around 70-ish minutes.
Yeah.
So maybe even the full 80.
Maybe Eisenhuth or Sewer move into the middle at some point for Mariner.
Nah, not Sewer. Probably Eisenhuth, I'd say.
Yeah, just someone, just for a short while to spread those around, because that's how I kind of see that playing. Or maybe he might spell Jack DeBellin as well.
Yeah.
He's the most likely candidate.
For Fifita and Molo, sort of just spell the two props. I see that as the full prop rotation. And Raymond spelling Eisenhuth. I think it's that simple, to be honest. And
yeah, and probably
DeBellin might get the full
Jack DeBellin.
But DeBellin might even get the full 80, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Eisenhuth maybe 50,
metric
60.
Metric-wise, there are so few 80-minute middles left in this competition.
But DeBellin, back in the last year, pretty much only played 80.
Different coach, different thing. I'm just saying, I get it, but they were so much shorter on props last year.
Well, I think it's equally short this year, to be honest.
Once you got Luciano back, you got Tom Eisenhuth in, they got Mariner in. It's, I don't know.
Yep.
Anyway, let's find out. So, look, how about we talk about Jack DeBellin and then Nick? So, you're very high on him. He's currently in your squad.
Mate, extremely high. 58 break even, so he's got a high benchmark to mate. But in 2023, when he played over 60 minutes, he averaged 63. That includes those two BS sin bins, which I thought were just terrible, terrible calls and terrible interpretations. So if you then look again over 70 minutes, he averaged 67.5, including those two sin bins as well. So more minutes equals more points, so the PPM doesn't drop off. If you adjust those games for those sin bins, right, with his PPM, you're looking at a 69 average when he plays over 70 minutes. So 69 is 78 minutes is what I'm looking at a 0.9 PPM in long minutes. So, you know, if he's at 70 minutes, which is what I'm thinking, he's as a conservative assumption, I think, I'm projecting him around 63. So it's 5 points of value. And if he gets the 80, it could be more towards that mid to high 60s potentially.
I like
it. So he's a lock in my team. I don't know. What's his ownership? Let me have a quick look. He's a bit of a pot, I think. 0.9% ownership. So, you know, I like him over the field in that position as well. Obviously, Haas would have been nice, but it was an extra 90K.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's certainly a few points. There are a couple points of value in Jack DeBellin due to those couple of early bench games and a couple of suspensions in there.
Symbians.
And that HIA game against the Panthers. So he's got a few. Now, he will probably cop one of those because he is sometimes the third man in around the legs, but he probably shouldn't cop all four in the same season.
But, like, I'm not going to get upset again. That was just so frustrating. It just sucks when player gets done for BS
one of
stuff
them,
like that. Like,
one of them
just
was
kills
absolutely 100% soft, didn't deserve to be. The other one was like, it's a line ball.
Suspect. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Dragons always get the rough rub of the green with that crap. So it's just true. Like even more frustrating when your team sucks and your best player gets done on a soft call. Anyway.
All right, take us through Kyle Flanagan, mate, and why people should own him.
Mate, over 60 minutes, he averaged 32, excluding goal kicking over the last 2 years. So I think this is his absolute floor, as I mentioned in the preseason. So I see 6-7 points as an absolute minimum when he's on a team that actually wants to have him there. So I think he's a great buy. He looked great in the preseason, running the ball, taking a bit of the load off Hunt, going to do some general kicking. And he's a better kicker than Lomax. So if Lomax's a bit of a form slump with the boot, Kyle Flanagan will just walk straight into some goal kicking. So I know we've got Ethan Strange as a good bench half cover, which is 100K cheaper, obviously, than Flanagan. So Flanagan's out of my side now, Stu, just based on Strange just sort of fitting in as that half center backup just beautifully in my squad, to be honest. So is Flanagan still in your squad?
He's still in my squad because I've got Hutchison and I've currently have Strange as the starting center to try and finagle in Appy into my squad.
I do
completely understand why people don't have him. If you've got Hutchison on the bench, I take Hutchison first. But I think for people like myself who've got, you know, not necessarily that option, I'd take Flanagan. I think there's some value there. And the fact is that the coach even said, and Ben Hunt saying, I have to give Flanagan more responsibility, which should mean more points.
And they can't, there's no one else. Like Jesse Marschke was playing for the Bears, I think. And he played well. Like, it seems like a good player, but there's really no one breathing down his neck in the 5'8". So he's going to have plenty of rope, at least to make some cash before he gets put in reserve grade for whatever reason, if he has a bit of form slump. So I see him as like a, you know, he's definitely not going to suck for fantasy sort of guy, you know, just definitely not going to suck.
Yep, totally. Awesome.
Is that it? Is that it for this game?
I think there's no one really left at the Dragons that we need to talk about.
Sweet. Keeney, he'll just get the one game, we're thinking, so he's in a void, right?
Yeah, we have to talk about Keeney. So essentially, guys, just listening at home, Keeney gets one game. He does average 55 in reserve grade, which is great. Then he's got the bye round two. Then round three, like apparently we saw a screenshot of someone who had hit up Jaden Campbell direct on Instagram and go, hey, mate, when are you back for my super coach team? And he's gone, mate, I'll be back round three for sure, basically. So that's kind of come through just third party to us. So essentially Keeney for me, like I can't verify how great he is, but I can see that it's officially from Jaden Campbell. So Keeney probably
needs my eject plan if Joe Chan doesn't work out for whatever reason.
Because at least you get a game, right? And then correct. It's a one trade out.
Yeah, and Keeney looks the business to me.
Oh, he certainly does. If Joe Chan doesn't trade out, like Keeney is probably the guy to go to. But for me, you don't buy a guy for one game knowing that you're probably going to have to eject the thing after. Cleese Haas is also an avoid because we got defeated you back round five.
Cool.
Nice. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else. No, I think we're fading everyone else. Oh, guys, we've got to talk really. Chris Randall, unfortunately, you don't want to buy either because we have Sam Verrills on the bench. Chris Randall averaged 38 in 56 minutes. So in his historical hooker minutes. So he's really his only value if you get 80. He just played too well last year. All right, Nick, how about you take us through the Dolphins versus Cowboys game?
Mate, the battle for Queensland without the Broncos because they've abandoned ship to Vegas. Anyway, Dolphins, a couple of surprises here. Tessie New is in at centre with Ewan Aitken in jersey 21. So that hasn't whose centre spot did he take? Is it Avarillo's? Tessie New?
Wasn't really anyone's. That's the point. So
okay, so he's beaten out Avarillo really for that centre spot.
He certainly has. And Aitken as well.
Yep. Aitken's not in the centres or in the back row. Connolly Lemuelu's got that edge spot. So Aitken, as I mentioned, jersey 21.
Avarillo's all the way at 19 as well.
Yeah. So the other big one, Isaiah Katoa, is jersey 22. Cody Nikorima's got the inside running for the 5'8 role for round one, which is pretty sweet. Jack Bostock, as anticipated, is on the wing, is a good cheapie, and looks like to be a good winger, sort of a bit like Corey Oates, to be honest, maybe a bit more spring in him. That's pretty much it. And the other one's Max Plath, who I never heard of before tonight. He is in jersey 15 as a bit of a lock hybrid half, Phoenix Croslin, Kurt Mann type of guy. So on the Cowboys side, they are pretty much as expected, right, Stu? 1-13. There's no surprises there.
It just means Semi Valame's lost his spot to Zach Labor and Kyle Felt, who's made his way back to the top squad. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, pretty much as expected. On the bench, though, we've got Griffin Neame and Sam McIntyre's back from the dead. and Kulikefo Finifuaki.
Oh, mate, that's a rough one to cop. So Ruben Cotter at 13 is also what we want to see with Taumalolo at prop.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of this Cowboy side, to be honest. Really, really good, really settled. And only other notable players, we've got Thomas McKayley in jersey 19, who we thought might crack this 17. Jack Gajewski's in 21, which is a good thing for fantasy because he's a dud for fantasy. And Jake Clifford, jersey 22, clearly on the outer though, based upon Didden Townsend being the incumbents there. So, mate, where do you want to start? There's way too many players to talk about. We just got to punch this out. Let's go.
Okay, let's go. Testing you real quick, 421K, 31 break even, DPP, so wing fullback and center. So essentially, if you don't have the cash to go and get a Carras, testing you is a great option. Look, you're no job security with Uncle Wayne. We know that. We know that Averillo is sitting there and he could take his spot at any time. He did well during the trials that they played, which is why he's playing there. So testing you is a guy who he bought over from Brisbane. You can see that he can do a pretty good job. Like he got Jermaine Osako's career turned around. Might be able to do the same with testing you with a year off. So, but there is Valance Tawari. There is Ewan Aitken. There is Jake Averillo there. So pick him up. Just don't rely on him to play all 24 games this season. But you'll probably get three or four unless he absolutely poops the bed. And let's get to the next guy, Jack Bostock, 307K, 22 break even, starting winger. Small sample size, but still 304K for starting wingers. Hard to come by. You could do worse. So again, you're worried about Uncle Wayne, but it's better than Uncle Ricky Sticky Stewart. So I reckon he's more secure than Kotrick, Nick. Because he's won that spot and there's just,
I agree.
They're not shouting down the thing with wingers in this squad. Like I'm looking through the rest of the 21.
Yeah.
Not seeing it unless you move like Tessie to wing and bring in Averillo at center or something.
But Bostock really fits that modern day winger, that the size and the jumping and, you know, he really sort of fits the bill here and he's a young dude as well. So I've really got high, I think Bostock's a bit of a smoky here to go ham, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it'll be a bit like Warbrick last year where he will get some
exactly.
some bad. You just have to wear it. So
if he's not on Melbourne.
That's the downside is that he's probably not going to get those triple try games, which got Warbrick's price going eventually.
Yeah. I mean, playing outside Hammer isn't too bad. And is he outside Herbie on the right wing? Or Bostock was left wing? No, I don't know.
Yeah, Bostock's playing outside Tessie.
Yeah, okay. So that would be pretty tough. I'm not sure Tessie's got the best hands.
He did get Bostock a couple of tries, but he does like to run it too. But still, Bostock, you could do worse this year. He's a starting guy. He's probably the only starting wing fullback not named Nick Kotrick, who's under sort of that 350K mark who you can rely on.
Yep, yep.
All right, so let's get rid of some other guys. Ray Stone, 468K, 34 break-even mid. He averages 34 and 50 minutes. So I know, Nick, when we were talking, we said go get Taumalolo. At least there's a little bit of upside there for Taumalolo being not injured.
Yeah, yep.
Next one is Thomas Flegler. So I've got him at averages 41 over 47 minutes at a 0.86 PPM, which is nice but not amazing. Needs to get to that sort of 50 to 55 minutes to make that money that we want to see him make. So if you think that he's got more gears to go, he can raise that PPM. I could have value, but this bench is rough with a four forward rotation. So just looking here, Nick, they have Josh Kerr, Max Plath, Kenny Bromwich, and Mark Nichols. So none of them.
I think you're nailing it. Yeah, there's just not the minutes of Flegler like we were sort of hoping there could be.
Well, that's it. It's if they carry a utility, Max Plath is probably that utility role that Ray Stone was going to do a bit of hook, a bit of this, bit of that. But
Averillo was maybe even a shout, you know, to just come in and provide a bit of cover because, you know, a lot of these guys can play long minutes. Like
that's true. Or an Aitken or something. Like you can play a bit of back line, bit of front. Like,
yep.
But no, they haven't gone for that. They've gone for the middle bash up straight up. So let's get through the rest of the Hammer. 564K, 41 break even. So he's got an awful buy schedule for Origin. So he's got a round three buy. He will then miss 13, 14, 16, 18, and 19 on his way through for the season. So even
that's
if you
yuck.
Want to hold him until Origin, the issue I was looking at Hammer, he's got no real blowout games to really lift him into that elite territory. So his best is like that sort of 60, 60. 5, which, you know, I'm just not seeing as really what we want here. So I'm just looking through last year, Nick. His best score was, he got 2 scores of 65 at fullback, and that was with a double both times. So when he doesn't get the double, right, like he had an absurd try scoring rate last year in his good scoring games. So 0.8 try scoring rate, which is great. It's replicatable. But on those games that he doesn't get it, right, we're not seeing some great scores here. So like 28 versus the Titans, 32 versus the Rabbitohs, 27 versus the Broncos. Like it's an issue, right?
100%.
Yeah, so avoid for me. Let's go through here. So I've gone through all of these guys. So let's get to the other side. So you looked quickly up Max Plath.
Mate, he's 500K, so he actually played 2 games last year for an average of 42.5. But they've mucked with his price. So his break even's 36, and you know he could be absolute value if he gets minutes, but he's got absolutely no opportunity for minutes, unfortunately. So he's a complete avoid.
Yep,
it's going to stink up your fantasy team. Tamalolo though, 468K, 34 break even. Whilst he's 31 and his prime is well and truly behind him, his PPM has eroded, which sucks. But we think he might get some minutes with Hess, you know, on the way out. So if you get any sort of resurgence from Tamalolo, maybe 45, maybe 50 minutes, you could see a bit of a return to a bit of form. Because it wasn't that long ago. He was a 0.95 PPM kind of guy, mate, back in 2020. So do you think he might turn back the clock? Is he worth bringing to your team?
Look, it's one of those ones where you can certainly bank on him being a bit better this year. So, like, because he was busted last year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was. So if he gets 45 minutes at a 0.95 PPM, you're sort of looking low 40s average for a bit of value.
We're not thinking, you know, he's going to get 1,000 minutes here. But
no, 45, 50, something like that.
The Hess injury just adds that little bit of gap there where we could see that extra sort of 3 to 5 minutes for Tamalolo, along with him being fitter. So
our PPM improvement. We can't fathom him going backwards, right? We just can't.
Well, not unless he is truly like busted. And at that point, I'm just looking at this bench, right? So you got Finifuaki, who is a edge, right? As is like Sam McIntyre's in the middle, Griffin Neame's in the middle, but then you got Drake Granville, who they play him in the middle, but it's not really got go forward. So yeah, I certainly see that he will get a fair few minutes this year and his PPM should improve and the team should be better, which means that I think that Tamalolo, you'll probably see 5 points of value. You could see 10.
Yep. I don't think you're going to fail with, I don't think you're going to lose your shirt with Tamalolo. So, yep.
All right. How about you talk me through, Reece Robson, who's going to talk through that one, you or me?
Mate, I think you rightly pointed out that he had a really good front end to the season. He sort of faded after Origin. So I think he looks to be at minimum 5 points of value based upon a regression to a, 53, 54 kind of average. With the Cowboys, returning to their expectations of where, they couldn't meet last year. They were kind of crap for most of the season. So a bit of value there, to be honest, and definitely a good shout. He should play. We don't know if he'll play Origin, if Appy's got the inside running, but he may be on the Origin bench. So, you still get a clear run rounds 1 to 12 with some decent value there. Mm-hmm. In a tricky position, really. Obviously, Cheese and, you like Appy, but if you don't like Appy, I think I'd get Robson, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, look, he's certainly that middle option who's safe. So compared to Appy, you will get an extra game from him before Origin. He's also less likely to play Origin. I see Appy as being the more likely guy to make that team. All right. Who's next off the list, Nick?
Helen Lukey, 498K, 36 break even. He averages 47 in 60 minutes last year, although there were a lot of variables in that score. Probably the best value remaining edge yet to play. He's in both our squads, right, mate? He's in mine at the moment. Is he in yours?
He's in mine. So he has been too. So I'm looking to hold him at least up until Origin, but then he probably gets the flick. I'm just hoping he can get to that sort of 700K type place where I can start trading him out to get some non-Origin players.
Yeah. It's tricky because, we don't really know what's going to happen with Finifuaki on the bench there. whether, you know, he just...
Oh, look, he will drink some of Lukey's milkshake. Lukey seems to be like a 55, 60-minute guy. Though, you know, last year he was coming back off that ACL. So I think they're just hurting for that Cohen Hess hybrid role.
It really worries me with Lukey, though. Like, it just spooks you because we sort of thought he's locked into those 80 minutes and now it's...
I'm not sure it spooks me because, remember, he averages 47 and 60 minutes last year. So even coming off there, he can still score plenty of points plenty quickly. So
I'm spooked.
Fair enough. Well, look, you can get someone else, but all I can say is that I worry about Finifuaki less than I worry about Kai Pierce-Paul for a guy like Lucas. So Lukey is okay for me, but you can always trade him out if you need to.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to lose my shirt, but, you know, he was like, you know, one of the absolute first guys picked, and now he's not anymore, you know, so.
Yeah. Look, Ruben Cotter is a guy who they had a down year last year. There are a number of things around that. He played Origin, got injured. There are a few things going on there. I think this year the side will be better. They'll be more settled and they won't read the press about how good they were. So,
yeah, he's a lock, right? He's pretty much a must, right?
His ownership percentage is enough that you really have to have a very good reason why you don't have him, in my opinion.
I don't know why he wouldn't. Like, to be honest, like, he just seems primed to put out huge scores, especially with Hess gone. Like, he could get serious minutes this year. And if he gets that involvement rate back up, like we discussed in the preseason, he's, you know, as you mentioned, he's club captain now. So I just don't see the downside.
No, I don't see the huge amount of downside either. There is some, which is just that you just don't get as good. There's so few value middles that are left to play. Like, if you're not getting Cotter, how many guys are around that price who you want to buy? That's the thing. So, like, we talked about Flegler. We don't think that there's value there, not much. I'm more confident on Cotter because at least we have that body of work to review. That's what makes me feel a little bit happier.
Yeah, there's literally nothing there, is there? It's a bit barren, that price bracket. Yeah, yeah. Those are guys left to play. Nothing. You got to go up to Cam McKinnis, is probably the next price bracket up that you'd really consider. And then going down a price bracket, you know, Adam Elliott, I suppose he's around that price, but still, we don't love Adam Elliott on this pod. Other people do for some reason, but yeah.
Oh, look, that bench is light for Adam Elliott. Get that the bench is light for Elliott. And if you knew that he was going to get big minutes, but, you know, the...
Is it that light, though? Is it?
Cogger.
Cogger, Safidi, Hetherington, and KPP.
KPP is an edge more than a middle, right? Jack Hetherington hasn't been playing more than 30 minutes for the last however long. And then you got Daniel Safidi, who's great, right? But he and Leo Thompson and Jacob, like his brother Jacob, will just kind of cycle. Yeah. So we still got some space left in that time. Like, who is taking minutes from that bench? Who's taking minutes from Adam Elliott?
Have they got dudes coming back, though? Don't they have?
Cogger will take a few minutes.
Croker was coming back, isn't he? Isn't Matt Croker injured or something like that?
Oh, I'm sure he is, but I'm not saying that Elliott's going to play 80. He'll probably play 60. He's got the exact same runway that Cotter has. It's just that I like Cotter's PPM and work rate and the fact that he's not a flog more than I like Adam Elliott. I'll be honest with you, he's not going to be caught kissing anyone's missus.
Yeah.
So, and you know, for once that's not defamatory because it just happened. So, like, so yes.
You can't help yourself, mate. You can't help yourself.
It's not defamatory. Man. He bloody did it. I'm not pretending over here.
No, you're not.
So for once, like not for once, I try and never defame people deliberately. But this time around, he gets exactly what he deserves.
Yeah. But if you're saying Adam Elliott at 60 minutes, I'm pretty tempted because his PPM is 0.8 or just over 0.8, I think, in that lock roll. So you're saying, oh, God.
Okay.
Cotter. I'm still going Cotter. I'm still going Cotter every day of the week.
Yeah, Cotter's just 0.84, right, historically. And last year, he's had 0.79, but it was 0.91.
He's a 0.9 guy.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Adam Elliott is not a 0.9 guy.
No.
And he's a flog. Dead set. Mate, that's not defamatory either. That's consider that opinion and comment.
Okay. Let's finish off with Val Holmes, mate. What do you reckon?
Val Holmes is probably the best center remaining. So obviously if you've gone and got Joey Manu, like against our recommendations, you're laughing, right? After that 70 odd. But how often is he gonna get the amazing flick pass, try assist, plus the intercept basically gifted to him?
Oh mate, Ezra Mam had a terrible game, didn't he? Just terrible.
That's it. And then he really did. Then the
that intercept he threw, he pretty much looked at him and then just went, you know what?
Yeah. He didn't have to reach for it and sort of tap it forward and regain it. It just landed in his lap. He just threw it despite, like, without looking.
No. Yeah. It wasn't a Crichton intercept where, like, his, you know, 8-foot wingspan, just, you know, fingertips and then batters, you know, nothing like that. Like, straight into his gut, straight out of the sticks.
It was not a good play on his part.
Yeah, rough.
So, having a look at this,
Do we want Holmes? So I'm ring and R-ing.
The answer is that he will score the most points of any center up into Origin, most likely. He's a goal kicking center who's got a great attacking squad, who's coming off an off year, who had 4 games below 40 points last year. 4 games as a center. That's just absurd. So, and then he had more games above 60 points than he did below 40.
That's crazy.
So
Now, you mentioned a week or two ago that you were worried about Lukey not having the ability to pass the ball to him though, right?
That was the one thing I did see in the trial game, is that Lukey ran a lot and got cut down by Strange, which is probably why Strange has that starting spot now. So there is that concern associated with it.
But obviously Drinkwater's pulling the strings on that edge, right? And he's obviously a maestro with the ball. So I'm actually not too worried about Lukey. But we sort of like the value of Karaz over the potential upside of Holmes, despite the fact that Holmes kicks goals. And
Holmes is solid, but he's priced near where he is. This might be a point or two. Karaz, we're thinking there's a few more points, and you save. Like, it's 556K versus 639. So you just get that 80 grand back, which matters at that level. So I would have him sort of, if you had him and RTS next to each other, I think that he will score better than RTS up until round 13. It's just that RTS only has 2 buys and doesn't play Origin. So you'll get more games out of Tuivasa-Sheck. You won't need to trade him.
And Tuivasa-Sheck is super sexy and he looks amazing. Did you, I didn't send it to you today. They posted him and his footwork. Like, he just looks that next level athlete. Like, he's taken his body to the next level, it looks like, over the last 2 years in union. Like,
I totally agree with you. He looks amazing when on the field. That's the reason why I've got him in draft.
He just looks crazy good, you know. Anyway.
Oh, for sure. So look,
I'm thinking, do I go Tuivasa-Sheck or do I go Holmes? And so I'm leaning Tuivasa-Sheck at the moment, but I'm not sure.
If as an overall player, if you just don't want to send trades at center, I'd probably go Tuivasa-Sheck, right?
That's where I'm at.
Yes, you probably will have to sell Val Holmes because that buy schedule, I'm just checking it out now.
And that's not a good strategy in the sense. You don't want to.
You will get 1 through 12 straight. Yeah. 13. Yep. He's a lock to play Origin, right? So he'll miss 13.
Yes, he's a lock.
Yep. He'll miss 16 with the buy anyway. He'll miss 19 with their buy. And then he misses 25, which is head to head finals error.
Yeah. Whereas, get this, Karaz plays 13 and 16. So, you know, that's a huge tick in his box.
Yeah, so look, if you did RTS and Karaz, that's a pretty solid center pairing. I'll be sure.
Okay, I'm done. Okay, sweet, I'm done. Sweet, done.
Awesome.
Oh, God, man, this split round, it's doing my head in.
And the fact is that, guess what? Peter Valandy says gifted us this for the next 3 years, dude.
I love it. I love the Vegas thing.
Last 4 years. The next 4 years, I'm just saying the split round, we're going to have to eat it for the next 4 years.
Yep.
I'm not loving that.
No, mate, I've got too many roosters in my bloody squad. So, and we all know what's happened there.
Oh, yes. Well, look, as we said, Spencer Lennie might be getting a sit on the sideline, so at least he won't lose you any money.
Mate, yeah. Oh, my God. Anyway.
All right.
I'll have to eat that. And yeah. Anyway.
Well, look, let's wrap it up there, mate, because it's getting late and we have a questions podcast to do tomorrow.
We do. So shoot through your questions, everyone. And
that's DM us, hit us up on, you know, Facebook, the Insta, however you like there. I'll get a questions post up tomorrow as well for you all.
So as.
Excellent. Well, this is the Boom or Bust NRL Fantasy Podcast. Teamless Tuesday, Mark 2 signing out.
Thanks for listening to the Boom or Bust podcast. Make sure to subscribe and check out our Facebook page for more info.